Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you ready to have a better night's sleep, one where you wake up feeling refreshed and relaxed? Yeah, me too. We're going to be talking about how to get that right here, right now. I'm Polly Campbell, Simply Sutton. Hello, 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 and welcome to Polly Campbell, Simply Said. This is the podcast where we talk about how to live well, do good, and be happy. And today we're talking about how to rest easier, how to get a better night's sleep. Are you feeling it? This show is dropping right after the state I live in, Oregon, went on to daylight savings time. I am not a fan of this clock switching. Are you? How do you feel springing forward, falling back? You know, plenty of research shows that it's hard on us. It's hard on our biological clock, our circadian rhythms, our bodies, our brains, everything else. In fact, the incidence of heart attack, car accidents, and other difficult things happen during these 2 days. The day we fall back, the day we spring forward, and the week ahead. So yeah, if you're feeling a little tired today, you're not the only one. We're going to talk about that. But really, this comes down to placing more of an importance on our sleep schedule, right? Getting better sleep anyhow. You know, more than half Americans don't get 7 hours or more of sleep a night. And that's really the minimum. People do need different degrees of sleep, but they really want the adults to have 7 hours or more of sleep a night. Are you getting that much? You know, I can lay in bed for hours and not sleep. Now, part of that might be menopause, but I've never been a great sleeper. And so today we're going to talk about some of the things we can do and hold ourselves accountable to so we can get a better night's sleep, because it influences so much, particularly how we age and how we feel in our lives. When we shift our clocks, when we fly through different time zones or travel to different time zones, that can really knock off our sleep schedule and our body's internal clock, often referred to circadian rhythms, right? They occur at a cellular level, and they really affect everything in our lives. And we're not the only organism. Most organisms have circadian rhythms that are impacted by our temperature, by how much we eat and when we eat and all those things. But the biggest factor, the thing that impacts our circadian rhythms more than anything else, is the light-dark cycle, night and day, essentially, right? So when those circadian rhythms are out of whack, we really struggle getting a good and relaxing night's sleep. And the interesting thing, and maybe a little scary about this, is it's not just limited to how well we feel during the day. When we don't get good night's sleep, we set our risk up for a whole lot of physical and mental disorders and health issues. It can contribute to cardiovascular disease. Poor sleep quality over time can contribute to mood disorders. In fact, in a review of the research around sleep and circadian rhythms, scientists discovered that in just about every psychiatric disorder, sleep circadian disturbances are present. When our circadian rhythms are out of whack, when we are losing sleep, literally, we tend to have a higher risk of mental disorder and disease. And if we are in that place, if we are dealing with anxiety and depression and other things, which many people are, sleep disruption can really exacerbate those symptoms and make it harder for us to get through, right? Well, listen, this tells me a couple of things. One, we need to be responsive to our body and make choices that are going to help our physical vehicle and our brain and organs really function. We need to give them the nourishment through sleep and water and the right kinds of food and movement to function well. And we need to be in charge of our sleep schedule. You know, it is, particularly as I'm aging, I'm having a harder time getting good night's sleep. It used to be when I was younger, I'd have more anxiety during. Now I you know, have temperature changes and all of that. But we can be accountable to this and take control of our sleep schedule so we get a more restful sleep. And that starts by, first of all, if this is an issue you're having and it's ongoing, talk to your doctor. You know, find out if you're in menopause and struggling with sleep disturbances, find out if hormone therapy could help. Some people use supplements like melatonin to help regulate the way we process the natural light in our body, the hormonal releases, and that can help us sleep better. So it makes us tired in theory, right? So there are different ways to deal with sleep problems. But the point is, we need to become aware of our body and deal with them before they lead to real serious health issues. The other thing we know about good sleep is it helps us learn. It's while we are sleeping that our brain entrenches memory. It takes in the learning and files it in our brain. It helps us unwind and relax so that we can pull on that learning when we need it. It's restorative in all kinds of ways. So this is not just about our health. This is how we process our world and function within it. So today we're talking about that. Be accountable, though. I'm going to talk over some tips and things that I'm trying, things that the research says is effective that you might want to try too. But we have to do the stuff, right? We have to decide that it matters to us, to our health, that our health is important, and take charge and make this a part of our day. Start by resetting our circadian rhythms. And how do we do that? Well, we get up and get into the natural light. I was going to say sunlight, but in Oregon, has it been like 2 months since we've seen the sun? No, it hasn't been that bad. It just feels like that. But reset your clock, your circadian rhythm, trigger your rhythm. Get up, get into the sunshine as early as you can. 15 minutes in the natural light in the morning, it can ease fatigue. It slows the release of that tired baking hormone melatonin, right? We talked about taking it as a supplement to make us tired. But when we are out in natural light, when we open the blinds, when the sun is pouring in, when we're outside, then our bodies naturally slow the release of that hormone melatonin so that we wake up when melatonin comes back into our system more in the darkness. That's when we feel tired. So using the body's natural rhythms by getting out in the sun and turning down the lights at night, we can reset our circadian rhythms so that we get better sleep. It's worth trying, I think, right? And the other thing is, if you are feeling tired during the day, especially after these clock changes, you can take a short nap, but plan when you do that. No longer than 20 minutes. You don't want to sleep in the mornings. You don't want to take a nap too close to bedtime. You want to take 20-minute naps or shorter naps while you're feeling sluggish now because of the clock change, and try to get yourself onto a sleep rhythm in the night so that you don't need a nap during the day, right? Now, if you have sleep apnea or you're dealing with other things, that's a medical condition. You can get help with that so that you're not falling asleep in the day. For others, it's just a matter of getting exposed to that natural light, nourishing our bodies, and pacing ourselves during the day so that we can sustain our energy. And when we do that, we're going to get a better nighttime sleep. Another way to get better sleep is to exercise or get movement, but not too close to bedtime, right? It's easier for our bodies to unwind when the night sets in at the end of the day, when we're tired. And so exercise, you know, before 3 p.m. if you can, early morning. I've been doing early morning and a couple of things are happening. And you know me, I don't like it. So that's not happening. It doesn't mean I like it any better. But what it's doing is it's helping me focus better in the day. I get up, I exercise first thing, feel proud of myself that it's done. I feel like I've gotten a small win, which builds my motivation. But it's also helping me to focus when I am at work. And that's something that I was really struggling with and still struggle with, but this helps a lot. So I get my movement in, go for a walk or do an interval or hop on the exercise bike first thing in the morning, really before I even turn on the light. And then the rest of the day, I feel more energized and more focused until the end of the day where my body is naturally tired. I don't work out after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, I have a pretty flexible schedule, so I'm fortunate that I can do that, but still, I do it at 6 a.m. So I don't use my schedule. When I can't get it on for some reason in the morning, I'll do it during my lunch break at about noon and just do a quick walk, 20 minutes or some high impact thing to get my heart rate up because I feel better. Okay. Remember, we're going for 7 to 8 hours of sleep. So it can also help to keep track of your sleep schedule. My Fitbit is helping me with that. I love tracking things, so it's just kind of like a hobby. But when I'm noticing that I'm staying up too late reading or pushing my schedule out of whack, I don't sleep as well at night. And so when we maintain a regular sleep and wake schedule, it's like a child. We all do better. Create a sleep routine for yourself. I go to bed at the same time every night. I really focus on turning the light off at the same time. Now, I plan time to read in bed because that's important to me. I love that downtime. Sleep experts will tell you not to do that. Use the beds for sleep and sex. They'll say, well, that's not the case for me. I read in bed. That's what I do. So you decide what routine works for you, but keep in mind that they, when you hit the bed, they want you to be turning off the light and going to sleep, okay? Make sure your bedroom or the sleeping place is a place where you can block out the light, where it's dark. That goes to our circadian rhythm again, right? We don't want to be in a place where there's a lot of outside light coming through during the night because that throws off our rhythm. We want to have light exposure during the day, in the morning, throughout the day, and we want to be in a darker place where the lights are low, where the darkness comes in to go to bed at night. And it will help us in our dark space to go to bed and wake up at the same time every day. This even means on the weekend. Now, once in a while, I'll sleep in during the weekend or even just an hour extra. But I find myself now waking up at the same time every day because I'm in a really good rhythm and that's good. I don't always get the 7 hours of restful sleep. Sometimes I feel restless and I'm waking up. Another thing that I'm doing is turning down the temperature in the house. They say the ideal time is 65 to 68 degrees Fahrenheit in the house. You don't want it too cold or too hot. I'm turning it down further. I'm having real temperature times at night. That could be a menopausal thing as well. Too much information probably for you, but pay attention to the sleep, the temperature of your house or your sleep space. When I was in college, I slept on a sleeping porch at the sorority and I loved that. It was screened, it was cold, and I slept so good there. So I prefer it to be cooler and then buried in blankets. So figure out what feels right to you. But really the ideal is between 65 and 68 degrees, they say. And we don't vary that a whole lot. I think we're down to 62 most nights because all three of us prefer a cooler sleeping house. Noise, keep it quiet. This is an issue with my teen daughter, right? She'll be wrestling around in her bedroom with her lights on and her fairy lights on and her room is aglow. And I'm like, dude, after 10 o'clock, I need the lights off and I need the sound down and the door closed. You can have the lights on if the door is closed, but I don't want things shining into my room because I can't settle. I find myself thinking about things. What are some of the things you do that you find help you get a better night's sleep? What works for you? I've got a few more ideas we can try. Things the researchers recommend to help us develop a sleep routine that is restful so we wake up ready to go. We're going to talk about that when we come back right here on Polly Campbell's Simply Said, part of the Best Business Network of Electrocast. And we are back. You're listening to Polly Campbell Simply Said, the podcast where we talk about how to live well, do good, and be happy. And it's hard to do any of those things if we're tired and sluggish and groggy all day long. And I've been feeling it. I mean, I told you at the top of the show, I do not like the clock changes. I'm very light sensitive. I have windows and skylights all over my house. I always go out in the morning and stand on the porch or stand in the light in the window. I really notice the times of the light shifting, and it helps me a lot in the morning when it gets light earlier. And now with the clock shift springing forward and all, it's getting light darker in the morning. And that's a hard adjustment for me. It's wacky, made my whole sleep schedule wacky. And other things come into our life too, right? Changes in time zones, or we're not feeling good, or the kids are up having issues, or we have anxiety, we're not sleeping, we're in menopause, whatever it is, there are lots of things that get in the way of a good night's sleep. We're talking today about some of the ways you can be accountable to creating a better sleep schedule. It's really up to us. Absolutely, we can talk about hormone therapy with our doctor. We can get more exercise, which has been shown and proven to help us rest better at night. We can reset our circadian rhythms by going out in the daylight, by exposing ourselves, particularly in the morning, to natural light so that our body's natural rhythms get reset. And then in the darkness, allowing our bodies to settle into that by keeping the lights lower, going to bed at the same time each night, waking up at the same time each night, doing those things. And this is a health issue. You know, a lack of sleep, sleep disturbances, insomnia, and other sleep issues are tied to almost every psychiatric disorder there is, according to researchers. So we can minimize our risk and live better with the conditions we're already experiencing by really focusing on getting a restful night's sleep. This isn't easy for me. I've always been a restless sleeper. But these things are helping, particularly the natural light one, and the exercise in the morning is helping me. I try to do it before noon, usually 1 o'clock. Sometimes I'll be a little later, but I try to do it in the first half of the day because research has shown that moderate movement, especially earlier in the day, initiates the body's use of energy so it's more efficient. It helps us regulate our body temperature, help us regulate our calorie usage, all these things. So it's best, according to researchers, not to exercise close to bedtime because then we're fired up, right? Our body's alive with all of this and boosted and we can't settle down to sleep. They also recommend, and we know this, to limit caffeine after 2 p.m. I usually shoot for 4 p.m., most of my caffeine is in the morning in my coffee. I don't drink pop. So that's not usually a big deal, but I will never have a cup of caffeinated tea or coffee after 4 p.m. I just feel it in my body and I don't want the jolt of it. Here's the other thing. Now, this one I'm not always good about. Don't drink alcohol in the evening before bedtime. Now, when I have a glass of wine or a cocktail, usually on the weekends, it's always a couple hours before bedtime, right? It's always in the evening. I'm not drinking during the day. I'm working during the day. So I will, you know, with dinner, have a glass of wine or have a cocktail. And this dramatically affects our sleep quality. In fact, some research show that even 1 glass of wine can impact our sleep quality by 9.3%, making it likely we'll wake up. Moderate amounts of alcohol, as much as 24%. That's a lot of wake time. And by moderate amounts, they're talking 2 glasses, 2 cocktails, 2 glasses of wine, or 1 drink for women, right? So when we drink too much at night, almost all of us are going to have sleep disturbances. The same with dinner. I don't eat late at night. I just don't feel good. My stomach starts to hurt. I have crazy dreams. I don't sleep well. And this doesn't always accommodate people. They want to go to dinner at 8 o'clock. I try to eat, around by six. I try to eat before seven because I know what feels best in my body. Now, with everything, we have to accommodate. But the more of these things we have in place, the easier it is for us to get to sleep, even when there's been a disruption. So if you're used to going in at 9 o'clock, turning off the light and being asleep by 9:30 or being settled in the darkness at 9:30, and you do that every day, your body is going to be primed to start resting by 9 o'clock and sleep it, and you get up at six, your body is going to get primed to that. So when other things come into play on the occasional weekend or something is out of whack, then it's going to be able to accommodate that a little bit. But when we have weeks and days in a row where we're not keeping to a regular routine, we're not eating, we're putting more pressure on our body to respond to our food and alcohol intake, to relax after, exercise, we're stressed out and we're dealing with that while laying awake in bed instead of before we go to the bed, then we're going to have a hard time getting the restful sleep we need. And that's going to set us up for some other mental and physical health issues. We're trying to avoid that stuff. What I like about this is we are in charge. We can do these things. We can decide that our body and our health are our priority. And everything else we do effectively starts with sleep. Everything. As I said, the research shows that it's tied to every psychiatric disorder. And we don't need to deal with those things. And if we are dealing with depression or anxiety or whatever it is we're coping with, then we need the restful time at night to diffuse those symptoms, but also to process the big things in life in a way that helps us restore. And that's what sleep does for us. It gives us a break. It helps us internalize learning. It helps us relax. It helps our memory, all those things. So I like knowing that I'm in charge of this. We don't have to take a pill. We can put some of these things in place to be effective and help us feel better during the day. If you crawl into bed and you're not sleeping at all after 20 minutes, get up, go someplace else, read a book, do something different, and then return to the bed like 20 minutes later so that you associate your bedtime space, your bed space with sleeping. And if you do decide to take melatonin or prescription sleeping pills, obviously talk to your doctor. There can be addiction issues. There can be a reliance we don't want to deal with. In some cases, it can even be disruptive to our sleep. And taking melatonin at night can make you sleepy during the day. So talk to your doctor and get the information and support you need to learn about the side effects before you put anything in your body. But again, I like that we can try these things on our own. These are all things within our grasp that we can do and we can be in charge. What I don't like is I don't like sleeping. Every time I go to bed, I wish I had more time. I like what's going on in life. I've got a lot of things I want to do and think about. But I find that I'm more productive and I certainly feel better when I put these things in play. And I honor myself by following these sleep guidelines and getting better night's sleep. It's something I'm working on real hard right now, so I get better sleep. You might want to try it too. Let me know how it goes for you. I'll write more about this on in our Simply Said community, which you can join at pollycampbell.substack.com. I also have an article that ran on Psychology Today. I'll link it there in that Substack so you can get more information and a list of the guidelines that might work for you to get a better night's sleep. And when we do that, we will all live well, do good, and be happy.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electric Acid. Today is working for me. Do you believe that for yourself? Hey, I'm Pastor Julie, and I want to empower you through encouragement, inviting you to my podcast, Big Truth Encouragement, where I unpack living a faith-filled life. I created my podcast for the ladies, but gentlemen, you'll gain something too. So I invite you to listen to Big Truth Encouragement on ElectriCast and any platform where you listen to your podcast.
ElectriCast. ElectriCast.